Blog Talk Radio.
We live for you alone. We live for you alone, oh God. Hey. We live for you alone. We live for you alone. We live for you alone, oh God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. You have joined into the 2018 LFC AEN Ordination Consecration Preparation Meeting for the intense purpose of introducing you to the garment. We are so grateful that you have joined us this afternoon. We are on Blog Talk, and our host, being Pastor Joffrey Cooks, is on one side of the country. We're on another. We're all over, and yet we're able to come together as one on Blog Talk. I pray that some of the Blog Talk protocol you will probably remember, but your phones should all be on mute when you desire to speak or you have a question. I encourage you to text me your question, and you can text me at 630-701-4303 or at 773-779-2900. You can text your question. You can also speak live by taking your phones off mute and sharing. We should have upward to approximately 30 people on the line. So as a result, I didn't want anyone to become frustrated with the process. So if you text them to us, we will definitely get back with you with your answer. no background noise is picked up very easily. It can be extremely distracting. If you are using a phone number other than the one that you have submitted with your paperwork, you need to text me the last four digits of your phone number you are listening to the broadcast from. If you are listening to the broadcast on your computer, then you need to text me that you are doing it in that method. Attendance is taken, and it is taken by the phone numbers that come up on the program. So if these numbers aren't ones that we're familiar with, we would be unable to track your attendance. This is going to be the process going forward. In the month of May, we are going to be meeting every Thursday. Again, every Thursday at 7 o'clock. This meeting is on Saturday because it is a training, and I pray that you have your email and you can make reference to the pictures as best you can on the email with some of the supporting information. At this time, we want to open up in prayer. On the line should be committee members of the ordination committee. Know who you are. And I'm putting everyone on speaker, so I do ask that you make sure your phones are on mute. Amen. Pastor Hooks, do you want to open us up in prayer?
Yes, amen. And praise the Lord, everyone.
We'll follow your direction.
Amen, amen. And as we are praying, we definitely want to keep the Larkin family in prayer. And just lift up all of our co-laborers in the gospel in this hour as we are here corporately in the spirit of our God. Blessed God, our Father, we exalt and magnify thy name, for they love thee and thee alone, God. You deserve our worship. You deserve our praise. You deserve our adoration. Lord God, you deserve, Lord God, our devotion. We worship and reverence you, O Father. We bless the name of Jesus, for you are high and lifted up, O God. Thank you for being our kinsman redeemer. Thank you for every drop of blood that you shed, God, that brought us to this point and to this moment in time, O God. We are grateful, O Christ Jesus, for your great and awesome sacrifice. We are grateful for your love, for your mercy and your grace. We are grateful for watching us, Lord God, and for protecting us, preparing us, and anointing us, appointing us, and selecting us, even when we did not desire to know you, God. We thank you. We are grateful, oh God. We are grateful for pulling us out of the muck and the mire, oh Heavenly Father, washing us, making us clean, making us whole, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. There are thousands upon thousands of things that we can be grateful for, oh God. And so we just say thank you. We bless the name of God. We bless the work, Lord God, of laborers for Christ, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, and bless you for our apostle, oh God, and for this committee, oh Heavenly Father, this ordination and consecration committee. We declare and decree, O God, that this is great, O Heavenly Father. We count it marvelous in our eyesight, O God. And we thank you, Lord God, for even blessing us to be a part of it, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, guide us, O God, and speak to us, Heavenly Father. Meet us where we are even now on these phone lines, O God, across this continent in the name of Jesus, God. And elevate us to the place that you have called us to be, O Heavenly Father, that we could be very, very specific, very diligent and very purposed in the work that we do. In your precious and your marvelous name, we do pray. Amen and amen. I am so grateful to be here. Another year, another training, and another group of called and appointed candidates. I am so grateful. Overseer, I am hearing myself in some feedback. Is there a possibility that that could be adjusted? Testing. Yeah, I'm still hearing.
I am working.
Yes, thank you. I will let you work. I'll just let you know if it worked. I definitely wanted to start off this lesson just because I thought about everybody who has accepted the call and is accepting their candidacy. Overseer, are the consecratees on here as well, or they're waiting for their own lesson?
They're waiting on their own.
Okay.
Pastor, are you on speaker?
No, I'm not.
Bluetooth?
I'm using a headphone kind of device, yes.
Oh, that may be where the feedback.
Okay. I'll endure. Thank you. So, amen. All right, so we are, I asked Overseer to give me the names of everybody, every candidate, every ordination candidate, those that are being elevated, those that are being licensed, because the first thought that came to mind as we are looking at our vestments is kind of the question as to why we wear these vestments, and also who is wearing these vestments. And so I think about what the Holy Spirit is saying about each and every one of you, as you have, again, accepted the candidacy, accepted the call, told God yes, and are open to the open declaration, not just on this day in August, but some of you have been living this life openly for years. Others of you are preparing to live this life in a new shift, in a new season of your life. But I believe that what this speaks about you is that there is a good report written about you within and without. There is a good word. You qualify for this because there is a good report about you within and without. So I just want to say, Elder Yvette Trim, Emerging Pastor Norwood, Emerging Pastor Melvin, Emerging Pastor Joseph Bibbins, Emerging Evangelist Milton, Elder Kamisha Barrett, Elder Keitha Renfro Johnson, forgive me if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, Emerging Elder Brittany Buck, Elder Sarah McFadden, Pastor Deeltra Ford, Emerging Pastor Johnny Bond, Evangelist Rosemary Isaac, I decree over your life that there is a good report within and without. Doctress Rees, Genesis Dixon, Sharon Jones, Jewel Cooper, Davina Anderson, Minister LaJean Burton, Antonio Miles, Cecilia Miles, there is a good report within you and without, written about you within and without. Tamika Hardy, Cynthia Branham, Brenda Winslow, Rosetta Kelly, Dana Hamilton, Jamal Mullins, there is a good report from within and without about you. And I just pray that that good report is released and exemplified both in work life and in personal life, in the business and the social community, as you are upholding the cross of Christ while bearing and decreeing the light and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as the pastor and teacher of this lesson and of Grace Teaching Center and one of the pastors of the Apostolic Network and Laborers for Christ, I bless God for you. I encourage you, and I pray God's best blessings be upon you. So, amen. With that said, let's talk about these vestments. And let's talk about, I said the why, and so let's focus a little bit more on the why. The first why we are wearing these vestments is best said in one of two words. Either the word would be unanimity or realignment. And what I mean by that is It is the desire. Labors for Christ is in a process. Labors for Christ, the apostolic network, is in a process, is in a phase within the kingdom of unifying churches and communions and ministries and parachurch organizations and encouraging the unifying of these organizations within the kingdom of God across cultures, across denominations, as well as across borders. And so what we're looking at here is realigning. This is a work of realignment, or I use the word unanimity, which is just making us one, making us unanimous in our call, making us unanimous in our work. And so what this is about is realigning and unifying the body of Christ. We can, in spite of our different denominations, in spite of our different cultures, we can worship together, we can work together, and we can represent the kingdom of God together. And so that's what, one, this is a reflection of. But two, the other reason why we do this is for excellence. And if you look at the top of your vestment sheet, it says a ministerial dress code is herein prepared so that we might effectively exemplify the beauty and dignity of holiness, showing ourselves an example to all believers in all things. And I pray that everybody has this document and is following along with me. So the first thing is this excellence. And I want to use the word dress code again, maybe kind of quote unquote, but this dress code of excellence promotes and provokes pride and honor in our callings. And so I pray that as we look at this, one, as we look at this and as we're talking about this today, but two, as you get your garments and as you wear your garments and as you prepare your garments, that it is promoting and provoking a sense of pride and honor in your calling. There's not a day when I don't wear my garments that I look in the mirror and just something about the adornment, something about the garment feels differently, makes me just intensifies and enhances my sense of pride and honor in the calling. And as it says there, it is so that we can exemplify the beauty and dignity of holiness. And so may we continue to do that. This is why we do that, so that we can exemplify excellence and exemplify the beauty and dignity, the pride and honor of holiness, even as we're making ourselves an example to all believers. And so that's the last part to that why, or to this first part, I should say, is so that we are being willing to be accountable and present ourselves as examples to all believers. And so I encourage you to wear your garments in the public, to wear your garments in the commonplace, to wear your garments in the marketplace. You may not want to wear your whole cassock every day, but for those that are, well, all of us should be wearing our, can wear our clergy shirts with our collars, to be an example, to reflect the beauty and dignity of our calling and of this calling and of the holiness of Christ Jesus. So that is, I can't even quantify which of these why is more important, whether it's the excellence aspect or the realignment, but I believe that they are important. I think they're very important and things that we need to demonstrate in the earth realm. The second bullet, quickly, the second quote says, the effectiveness of this code is contingent upon the commitment of every clerical member of the college to adhere to its standards at every level. By doing so, we establish order and a sincere acknowledgement of and regard for spiritual authority. So I think one of the other things that we need to understand is, one, that we are laborers for Christ, the apostolic network. We are part of the College of Bishops. And so as a part of being this college, there is an order and spiritual authority. And we also wear these garments in respect of and acknowledgement of spiritual authority. And so even as we outline these garments today, understanding that there is some spiritual authority, but it is not, and I think Bishop Ellis will say, it is not, one among equals. We are still all equal in this work. We are still all one in these callings. And so there is not one greater than another because one's colors are different or one's garments are different. We are all equal in this work. And so to that end, we have this verse from Genesis 4:9 that says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And we all know that the answer is yes. And so in the process of realigning the kingdom of God, and in the process of expressing spiritual authority and order, we are our brother's keeper. And so if we see someone in a fall, if we see someone not doing well, even in the wearing of their garments, it is our responsibility to encourage and instill in them order and correction, lovingly to encourage and instill in them order and correction. And so I encourage each and every one of you, one, to be found decent and in order in your garments, and two, to be empowered to pull a brother, to pull a sister to the side and say, you know, that's not the way we wear this. That's not what we wear when we're wearing our civic or our choral attire. And so let's correct this, so that we can all be decent and in order, again, exemplifying the beauty and dignity of holiness and excellence in our calling. Now, I know everybody's muted, and I definitely want to say, everybody say amen, but you don't have to take your phones off mute. That's all right. I'm just going to keep on preaching and teaching.
Amen.
So,
amen.
thank you. So I think because...
Amen.
Amen. I think because there are no, and let me look back at this list, I can move a little or skip over a few things. We have emerging pastors, and we have evangelists and elders here, but we apparently don't have any prophets or apostles or bishops on the line for this teaching, because, again, they are giving a separate teaching. So I will skip going in great detail, but you do have there the offices that we recognize as they are, as these are indicated in the Bible. So we have the apostle, who is a delegate, who is the called and the sent as the ambassador of the gospel. And I just like the G's with the fivefold ministry. And so the apostle gathers the people, gathers believers, lays accurate, clear, correct foundation and theology, and so as an apostle even walks into a place where the theology and the doctrine is not accurate, it is the apostles' authority and empowerment to lay correct foundation and biblical doctrine and Christian foundation. Amen. The prophet grounds, and that means speaking the word of God so that it grounds the believer into holiness, grounds the believer and lays the foundation so that the believer has a firm foundation to stand on, to walk with God and to walk with Christ, but also decreases and alleviates any level of pride, because God is not going to receive the prideful, and God is not going to exalt the prideful. And so it is a prophet's job to ground us, to make us centered, and even make us one. The prophet speaks the evangelist, speaks the as the breath and the word of God, and so they are a foreteller, an inspired speaker, they are anointed to do so. And so let's look at the evangelist. The evangelist girds. Now, when I get to the evangelist, for years I have seen the hand, if we look at our hands, as the fivefold ministry. But today I was looking at it and I saw an angle, kind of like a V or an A. And it doesn't matter whether you point it up or not or down. What stood out to me was it was the evangelist that stood at the vertex. And what I mean by that, and even if you use your hand, it is the evangelist that is represented by your middle finger, because that is the highest point. That is the longest finger. But what that means to me, and even with the vertex, if you take an angle and just like, or an A, and just like point it up, the evangelist is that vertex where the two lines meet. Because all of us aren't called to be apostles, all of us aren't called to be prophets, all of us aren't called to be teachers, but all of us are called to preach the gospel and to serve and operate as an evangelist. And it is the job of the evangelist to gird the believer and even the non-believer as he or she declares the good news of the gospel, but it is girding the individual so that they can defend their own faith and stand firm on their salvation and on the gospel of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are all called to be evangelists in some way, shape, or form. We are all called to be preachers and teachers of the gospel. And we are all called, therefore, to gird one another, to gird non-believers, to gird even ourselves and our families in the word of God and in the gospel, strengthening each other, encouraging each other, making sure that we are in our own lives walking appropriately, but then also correcting and guiding, girding, and strengthening others so that they also will walk appropriately. I think the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is great, is amazing, and it is also indescribable. It's just amazing how every year a new problem comes up. Every year a new issue in the world comes up, but there's nothing that the word of God does not address. And as we understand the word of God and have deeper relationship with the word of God, we are empowered at all times and in all seasons to gird men and women with the word of God so that they do not fall into the sins of the world and the sins of the world. And so that is the call of the evangelist, the evangelistic call on each and every one of our lives. Next is the pastor. So I want to speak to the pastors quickly because it is your job to guard the flock. These are not your sheep. These are not your members. These are the members of God. These are the sheep of God. You are his under shepherd and his under servant. You serve him as you serve the people of God. We are not called to be served fully and totally by the people of God, but we guard them. It can also be said that we feed them and we lead them, so we guide them as well. But we are to protect the flock. We are supposed to protect the sheep. And so when we look at these two words, one Hebrew and one Greek for pastor, it tells us to tend, that we are tenders of a flock and we are shepherds of the sheep. And so we watch over them, we feed them, we protect them, and know that as we lead them with love and as we pastor them with love, yes, then we fulfill the word of God that says, my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. As we lead and as we teach with love and kindness, under the anointing and leadership of the Holy Spirit, they will be devoted to us, but not really being devoted to us as pastors, but being devoted to God through us as we stand in a place where we are until they can stand on their own. We are the only guide that they know, which makes sense when you know people and you meet people who you don't even know whether they're in the church or not. But when they find out that you're a pastor, they cling to you because they are looking for someone to shepherd them, even in the natural, even if they never go to church. And I think some of us get turned off by people who want to be close to you, but they never want to come to your church. And I think we shouldn't do that because we need to open up our understanding of what the church can look like and how we can pastor people and guard people and protect people and feed people, not even worried about them doing what we think that they should do, just as long as they are doing what the word of God says. And it may not look like it's always going to look like it. We need to appreciate that. We need to understand that and acknowledge that. It may not look like how it looks like, how we want it to look like, but guarding the sheep is what we are called to do, teaching and protecting and feeding and leading and guiding them, ultimately being the ministers of reconciliation, that we connect the sheep to Christ so that they can stand on their own and know him for themselves and live after him, not always after the pastor. Lastly, with the fivefold ministry, then it is the teacher. And the teacher grinds. The teacher is the individual that takes the word of God and presses it so and shapes it and forms it and then releases it as an instructor, as a master pedagogian, so that the people of God has it so deeply ground and rooted in their hearts, as the Word of God says, that I might not sin against thee. It is a teacher's job for that, which is why the teaching anointing can be upon anyone. Any one of us can have multiple anointings. And oftentimes we don't desire the anointing of the teacher, probably because we understand that it's the anointing of the teacher that has the greatest weight upon it and the greatest responsibility. But as we are called to be teachers and instructors, as we are called to be master theologians, if you will, and biblical scholars and doctors of this text, it is so that we can grind the truth of God's word into the people of God, which always means, always, not often, but maybe not often, but no, maybe always is not the best way to say it, but I always find that it always seems more correct, is that it always means that you're going to have to teach somebody something again and again. I imagine screwing in a screw. You don't turn the screw once and it's already in there. No, you turn that screw a few dozen times or more. And so think of your life. How many times did you have to learn something multiple times before you actually got it? That's what teaching looks like, grinding it into somebody, grinding it into their hearts, grinding it into their minds, grinding it in until their spirit unites with God's spirit and the spirit of the letter so that they have a better understanding. And so now, that's that. Amen. We also, and again, there aren't bishops or overseers on this call, but bishops and overseers kind of serve the same function, overseeing churches. Elders operate as leaders within a church. Deacons serve to assist the pastor and assist in the day-to-day functions of the church. Ministers serve in the spiritual offices and spiritual functions of church, and missionaries often do quite what evangelists do missionary work out in the fields, in communities, serving the people of God, serving God's people in such a way where they are working kind of one-on-one with individuals, one-on-one with families, one-on-one in communities, providing a spiritual service and a natural setting, if you will. So I think that, and again, because I'm here to talk about garments, I'm not going to do too much more on offices. And I believe that everybody in your personal place of elevation or consecration, you have gained an understanding already, or you will be gaining an understanding of your office. So if it's all right, I want to move on. I know I have about 7 hours to do this teaching, so I'll focus more on the civic attire. somebody dropped their phone. That was funny. All right, I'm not going to spend 7 hours. Don't worry. I haven't eaten yet. Okay, amen. Civic attire. So we look at the garments, their spiritual significance, and the protocol, both for civic attire and the choral or choir dress. I have on here ordination service, and we'll talk about a few things about the ordination service. And before I do that, just you see the last bullet is the vendors. All of your garments won't be found at all of these vendors. I think that I have been more successful at Wheaton Religious Gifts and Watcher Church Goods for what you all are going to be wearing as we go down to those places, to those items. And so I would encourage those. And I think they're also the best prices for what you all will be wearing. So let's look at your vestments. I will skip over the apostles and skip down to pastors. And so let's look at pastors. We'll start there. Amen. So to all of our pastors, if you do not have these garments, your garments are the cassock, the clergy shirt, your 2-inch collar, and it's a full band that goes all the way around your neck, your cincture, a surplice, which is calf length, a tippet, your prayer shawl, a silver cross on a 36-inch chain, and, of course, your Bible. I'll do each one. I'll just kind of go over each one, and then I'll explain the meanings and significance since that is following in the document. Elder, black cassock, black or white clergy shirt, 2-inch collar, cincture, surplice, prayer shawl, tippet, and Bible. Evangelist, you're wearing a cassock, your clergy shirt, a 2-inch collar with a cincture, prayer shawl, tippet, and Bible. Let me say this also. Prayer shawl, it says according to ministry calling or gifting. So you know what your ministry calling is. And so you want to find a prayer shawl that is appropriate to your ministry calling, either in design and color, or we can pray over your prayer shawl in alignment with your ministry calling or gifting, if you already have one, or if you are not able to find one, or, amen, if you find one and that's the one that the Holy Spirit tells you to get. And so I just want you to know that for all of these. Teacher wears a black cassock, black or white clergy shirt, 2-inch collar, cincture, prayer shawl, tippet, and a Bible. Now, missionaries, Stephen ministers, and ministers wear black cassock, black or white clergy shirt, a 1-inch collar that still goes completely around the neck, your cincture, your prayer shawl, and a tippet. Deacons, and I don't think there are any deacons on here, but a deacon wears the collar or can wear a band, a brother band. But if you wear a collar, it will be completely around your neck. Has a black or white clergy shirt and a deacon vest, which is called a vestero. And on the last two pages of this document, there are pictures of everything that you all will need so that you can see it. And, of course, there are some derivatives. For example, your surplice, some of you all will see a surplice that is half length that goes down to the waist as opposed to the calves. But the image here is one that goes down to the calves. And for those that wear a surplice, that is the length that you would need. Pastors are calf length. But if I'm not mistaken, elders can either be calf length or halfway overseer, or is it just they're just halfway?
Yes, they're halfway.
Okay, thank you. So, so let's go to the meanings and significance. And I don't know if anyone has any questions, but please feel free to ask questions. Again, overseer said you can text them to her. And I think she also said you could just unmute your phone. But either way is fine if you have any questions. So when we look at the meanings and significance of each of these items, and now everybody knows what they need to wear. Some of you probably, like I say, already have some of these items. And so we bless God that you are here with us on this afternoon. Your collar. Your collar represents the yoke of obedience. And it is worn as a symbol of being a servant of righteousness, a slave to a holy Lord, and wearing it indicates that you belong to the kingdom of God and that your master is Jesus. I think of, I liken it to oxen that wear yokes when they are working in the field, when they are pulling and toiling and turning over the soil to farm. I didn't grow up on a farm, so that's my best analogy right now. But we as ministers of the gospel, and I put this on here first, mainly because everybody does not wear a cassock or a cincture, but everybody is called to wear a collar. And it is our declaration that Jesus Christ is our master, that we belong to the kingdom of God, and that we are, I don't know what word sends out for you more, But for me, the word that stands out for me more is obedient. At this point, we need to realize that we are not our own, but as a servant and a slave to God and to his righteousness, we belong to him and we serve him and him only. Our obedience, our devotion, our dedication is to him. And so because we expect him to be faithful to us, we then should expect of ourselves to be faithful to him. And the collar is the reminder of that. The collar is the reminder of that. I feel like I had a story, but then I forgot it. So I'm going to move on. And if it comes back to me, I'll share it. The next garment is the cassock. I would love for everybody to, if you're looking at the sheet and you have not seen the cassock, please just take a glance at the cassock. And the images that you have are of men wearing a cassock with the cincture around their waist. The cassock is the workman's garb, and it is a symbol of a servant. It's beautiful. It is a beautiful garment. It is a beautiful item to when you put it on. Again, every time I put it on, it just makes pride and honor just exude, just well up within me. And so, amen, as we are wearing it, knowing that we are a servant, but we are called and should be honored to serve such a great and awesome king and to serve in such a place as this earth, because it speaks to the fact that this world needs you. This world needs you. And our call to the ministry is not about us. It is not for us. It is not to benefit us. It is so that someone else can come to know Christ Jesus. Someone else can come to know the wholeness, the healing, the anointing, the deliverance that you know. Someone else can come to know the peace that you know. And so our cassock is a reminder that we have come to serve. And so ask yourself, how can I serve somebody? Who am I called to serve? Is probably even the first question that you should ask. And how can I serve them on this day? How can I serve them in this season of their life, in this season of my life? What is God doing in me? And what is God forming and shaping in me that he is actually not calling me to contain it, but to release it so that someone can be blessed by the anointing of God on my life, by the work that God is doing in my life. And so we are servants, and the cassock is a reminder of that. And then we are yoked with the collar of obedience, with the yoke of obedience. And so we do what he has called us to do as we are serving the people of God. It is modeled after the garment that Jesus wore on the day he was crucified. It is also modeled after the garment that the priests wear in the Old Testament. It is a symbol of humility and servitude. And when we wear it to honor the Lord as a servant. And so we are identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ, the servant, the one who served us by going to the cross, the one who served us by enduring his passion and his crucifixion, and even served us as he endured the 3 days in hell and then his resurrection, and serves us still as he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. So we are acknowledging and identifying him as servant, and so we then also must be servants. And just think about that for a minute. He serves us and has served us even when we did not know him, even when we did not love him, and even when we did not obey him. We are called to do the same for those in the earth realm, not only those that don't know him and obey him, but those that don't love us and wouldn't give 2 cents to us. We are still called to serve them. It is a humbling, humbling garment called to a place of humility and servitude. It's real quiet, and not because y'all got your phones muted. I love you.
Well, praise the Lord.
Are there any questions?
You're moving along. One of the things, though, Elder, Pastor,
is a question we had as it related to the length of the chain for the cross, which I believe is indicated as to the offices that are on the line to be no longer than 36 inches. And I just wanted to interject, remember how tall you are. So, you know, if you're 4'3" and you get 36, it really looks long. So get a shorter one, I would just suggest. Other than that, you know, because a lot of these, fortunately, are done for men who tend to be taller than the females. And so I just wanted to interject that about the length of the chain being 36. But if it's 32, because you're a lot shorter and you want it to be appropriate to fit in a certain way, you don't want it to, you know, hang off your stomach. You know, you really do want it to be closer to where your heart is, you know, hanging where your heart is. Also, the size of the cross, Apostle is going to get back with us as it relates to what that limit should be, but moderate, definitely, in the ones that I have seen in the past, have been no larger on this group of candidates of 3 inches. Smaller than that, Apostle says 2 inches. They're the apostles and bishops and things are probably that 3-4 inches. Ours are more that 2-2.5 inches. It's not the tiny one that you would hang around your neck on a necklace. It is a little larger than that. And then the other question, we were at CASA, and the other question, snaps, zips, or buttons. There are some teaching about it and about the 33 buttons that is in the CASA and what it represents in Pastor can tell you that, but just in that, for that category, catastic, if it's zips or buttons, zips or snaps are the most conscious. Buttons are going to be a lot more. So it's really based on, you know, where you are in your process of ministry and where your pocket is as to how you want to proceed. So I will return the rest over to you, Pastor.
You know, amen. Well, that's funny. I don't recall ever seeing one that zipped. I'm sure they're out there. There's probably also some with Velcro on it, now that I think about it. But I don't think I've ever seen one that's zipped. I know I've seen some that snapped, and I think the thing about the ones that snaps, I've not seen one that has the 33 buttons. And the 33 buttons, I'm sure, you know, everybody knows that Christ was on this earth for 33 years. So the 33 buttons reflects the 33 years that Jesus Christ was on this earth. And so we encourage, and I say encourage because we don't necessarily demand. I don't think it's required until, except for the overseers, prophets, bishops, and apostles to have their cassock with 33 buttons. And of course, as you said, the financial aspect of the one that snaps or zips is financially easier for some, and we definitely respect that. But if you can get one that has 33 buttons, it is preferred. And if you can find one that has 33 snaps, I respect that. And I don't know if Apostle Shawnette has any other feelings about that, but I don't think that there's a problem with it for those who are on this line, for ministers, elders, deacons, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. I think having one that snaps is okay. Again, I don't know about the zips.
Amen.
So So, amen. Beg your pardon?
No, I said, okay, this is the Velcro.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Velcros either. I have seen the ones with the Velcros where the Velcro actually closes across the chest, not down the center of the body.
Okay.
And so it's more like a choir robe, I think, but it's a cassock, and it's probably just as well. It's okay. I need a reader. Somebody.
Go ahead.
No, you're still on this topic. I was about to change topics.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just want, and one other thing is to be mindful when you buy it that you're going to have garments under it. And
amen.
So there is a fitting that you really do need to take into consideration, especially if it's Velcro. You don't want it popping open. So you really want it to have enough give for you and yet fit it to you. And so that would make it probably a little, you know, you don't want your snap being pulled out, you know, because it's not laying flat over whatever it is you have under it, which you will have stuff under it. So I just wanted to bring that out. That's it. Okay.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And when we talk about the coral dress, we'll talk about that for those that do not know. If I can get a reader for John 13, the verse that is in this under the bullet for cincture, if I can get somebody to read John 13, verses 4 and 5, so I can bring all of this part, and sum it all up. You have to unmute your phone.
All right, Apostle is going to get that for us.
Okay.
What is it?
John 13, verses 4 and 5.
Okay, Apostle is getting that. You want Ephesians as well?
No, just the one.
Okay. There are these people without a cell phone. Okay. Oh, okay. You can't do it. Yes. All right.
John 13, verse 4 says, "Don't be caught up on the mirror. Took off his outer clothing and wrapped his towel around his waist. And after he began to, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after he began to pour water into the basin, he began to wash. He began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him."
Thank you. Yes. Amen. And we can definitely go a little further in that verse, but I don't want to go too far. And I really just wanted to, because I said I wanted to bring this kind of portion to a close, looking at the first three garments, specifically the cassock and the cincture. The cincture is a girdle. It means girdle, and it is worn around the waist, around your waist on the outside of your cassock, and it reflects the towel wherewith he girded himself when he washed the disciples' feet. And what we see in that picture is that Jesus is wearing what we model the cassock after, and then he has the towel, which is what we model the cincture after. And again, like I said, the cassock is also modeled after the garments that the priests wear in the Old Testament, as well as the cincture is modeled after that as well. And so what we're wearing in all of these garments, and I cannot stress this enough, all of these garments point back to Jesus and point back to the Old Testament priesthood. And so when we're wearing this, again, I reiterate, with honor and dignity, it is because we are reflecting and connecting back to our spiritual foundations and spiritual roots, in office and anointing. And so with the girdle, with the cincture, it is what he used to drive the feet of his disciples, to wash and drive the feet of his disciples. And so we're wearing it in reflection to Christ, who is the master and the rabbi and the savior, who humbled himself to wash the feet of his disciples. And may we continue in our walk, humbling ourselves to serve those that God has put us in relationship with. Oftentimes, yes, as teacher, as master, as leader, as ministry head, but also to be their servants, also to be the one that would die for them, to apostle likes to say, to spend and be spent for them, to lay down your life for them, to sacrifice for them. And so as we wear the cincture, and again, you can look back down to the picture, the cincture goes around the waist. So please note, when you purchase your cincture, which again just reiterates what Overseer said, please try them on. Make sure you, they have basically about three settings. So, and some of the cinctures also do have Velcro, so you can find one with the buttons or find one with Velcro, so that you can set it so that it is fits comfortably around your waist. And we don't sag our cinctures. I'm not worried that anybody's doing that. But you definitely want it to be comfortable around your waist, because you want to be able to breathe. we know as well the voice of the verse, excuse me. You know as well the voice in Ephesians 6:14, and so the cincture also reminds us that we need to have our loins girt about with truth. And so, again, our garments point us back to the words of Christ, to the word of God, points us back to Christ and to the Old Testament priest. The final garment that I think needs to be talked about, oh no, it's two more, with this group specifically, is the surplice, not the roche, but the surplice. But the surplice and the roche both have similar meanings and significance. Just the roche is worn by overseers, bishops, apostles, and so the surplice, excuse me, is a symbol of the priesthood and of worship. And it is modeled after and is most closely associated with the ephod. If you've ever seen any pictures of an ephod, the ephod is worn on top of I'm forgetting the word, but
cassock.
Basically it's the garment that we fashion our cassock after, yes, is worn on top of that, that the priest wore, correct. The surplice is worn by pastors and elders. And so, it is a symbol of the priesthood. It is a symbol of office and authority, and it also represents dignity, royalty, and priestly grace. And so for those that are to get your surplice, again, pastors, your surplice should go down to your legs. Elders, your surplice should go halfway to your waist. You see that they're white. Many of them will have some kind of ornate stitching in the sleeves and around and down by the hem. You choose whichever fits you. The collar, I think most of them have that square collar. I don't think too many are rounded at the collar, but you may find some that are rounded at the collar. Again, you wear what fits you, but they're very large in the collar. Because it is to expose, of course, your yoke of obedience, your collar, as you wear it with your cassock. Also, please note that it goes on top of the cassock. I like that picture because it's also a full-length picture, so you see how long your cassock will be. And so keep that in mind as you decide what shoes you are wearing when you wear your coral dress. The last garment that I need to talk about for this group specifically is the tippet. And that is at the top of the second page, the tippet. So the tippet, just like the collar, represents the yoke. And it is worn by all clergy. And it denotes jurisdiction, meaning basically whose authority, what authority you possess or whose authority you are under. Both spiritual and, of course, denominational or organizational. So now, when you get a tippet, which all should get and will get, you can place on your tippet the symbols or crests that indicate your spiritual affiliation. Now, I said that, and then I wish I had to pull my tippet out, because I have on my tippet, the crest. Currently, I have on my tippet the crest of Laborers for Christ, the Ministries, and the Apostolic Network, because that is my spiritual affiliation. Others of you will, you know, could potentially have them of the Apostolic Network, and you might get one as well if you do not attend an LFC church, an Apostolic LFC AEN church. But if you are part of another church, you can have one for the crest or logo of that church on your tippet. That is up to you, but we encourage that you get a tippet and you wear it for this event, for your consecration. And in time, you may not get it done by the consecration and ordination service, but get the crest or symbols and put it on your tippet, so that when you do wear it at our high events, it is denoting who you are and, you know, what jurisdiction you are under in ministry. Are there any questions?
And, Pastor, also as it relates to those crests, they are available through this ministry for the AEN as well as Laborers for Christ. And so those would be two organizations that you could get a tippet for. Any organization that has, not a tippet, a crest. Any organization that has a crest and you are affiliated with it, you can also put that on there. But we have it for, we have it for a couple of the organizations. What is our last? Prosperous Journey and the AEN. The cost generally for those tippets, CCTI, the different organizations if you are interested, you are a part of, it's best to go through that organization for their crest so that they can provide it for you, and then you would be able to affix that to your tippet before you bring it to the conference. We will have a further training as to right, left, and all of that so that you can have a comfort level in that. The cost for the crests that will be available through this process will be given to you when we give you the total cost of the things that are going forth for you. We do have a question as to what should be the length of the cassock. Your cassock should cover your legs. You should not have a garment on except for men, and your cassock should not be shorter than your dress or whatever you're wearing underneath. But wherever it stops, whether it's low leg, ankle length, which is what is preferred, your undergarment should not extend beyond the hem of your cassock. So for women who are wearing a dress or a long skirt, you don't want that hanging below the hem of your cassock. What was the other question? You're asking some phenomenal questions. I just got to get them. Okay. How do you affix the tippet? The tippet is worn basically like a stole. It just goes around your neck, and it hangs over your shoulders, down the front of you, and it hangs loosely. The
like
crest that you put on there, pardon? Yes? prophet.
I said like a scarf.
Pastor. Yes, like a scarf. Exactly. Go ahead.
No, that was all, and it they normally hang to about your knees.
Yes, that's true. Oh my gosh, yes, they really do. Again, note how tall you are. So you know, if it's made for Pastor Hooks and Pastor Marnett has it on, it's dragging the floor. You don't want yours to be dragging the floor. It really shouldn't go, you know, but if you're tall, you don't want it on your upper waist either. So, you know, you're trying it on, and that look should be one where your tippet should fall at least to your knee, top of your knee type deal. One of the other questions, excellent questions, you affix the crest on. There's generally a 3x3 patch, and you can put them on with a straight pin, or you can stitch witchery them on, or if it's a very, very ornate patch, you can also sew it on underneath, you know, without the threads showing, only to those that are really seamstress, you know, so it will look as though it is a part of the garment, just like you may have a brooch on a jacket, so we don't see the under how it's attached, but it is attached. Some come with pins. The ministries have pins. They have brooch type pins, and that can also be affixed to the tippet. Let me see. Okay, the length of the tippet is wonderful. Questions. The cassock and then how those patches go on. You can stitch witchery them. Again, be very, 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 very careful. Do it with a towel, you know, because you don't want your iron to be so hot. It messes up your tippet because it can melt them. And so it should not be an extremely hot iron, and it should be done between a towel. If you're doing the stitch witchery, or just a couple of loops of thread to attach the crest to your tippet would be fine. My suggestion to individuals, because you're going to have this, you're going to have your garments on for a considerable length of time, and so I don't know how proficient you are at different things, but to make sure that your tippet stays centered, I first encourage each other, if you see the person in front of you, the tippet is crooked, hanging off the side, hanging down the shoulder, you know, you want to help them, you know, reestablish that correct look. But if you can just bring tiny, tiny safety pins, itty-bitty safety pins, and just have it tacked to the back of your tippet, to the center of your cassock. And that will allow it. Now, you can't do that. Actually, this is for those that are walking in with it on. Those that are buying it and bringing it, you cannot do that because you're going to turn them in separately because they're going to be placed on you separately. So you can't have it pre-attached. And I'm talking about your tippet to your cassock only. Now, there are those that may find because the retail industry has a variety of ways that they are now selling these products, that some cassocks come with the cincher. I would just, just be very careful that the fitting is proper over a full-dressed person. And I don't know how else, if that's the best economically efficient way for you to do it. If not, I would suggest if at all possible you buy them as separate items so that they can be blessed separately and they will be put on you separately. But if yours come that way, we can make adjustments. Okay, so, Pastor?
Yes, yes. All right. So I think those are all of the garments for this blessed group of individuals. So now let's talk about the protocol for each of the civic attire and the choir dress, some of which Overseer just spoke to. So civic attire. Now, this is something, and if you're writing, please, please, please make a very specific note of this, because for years, we would say, wear your civic attire, and people would say, what's that? And this is people, and I love them. I do love them people. It is just, I remember again, you're grinding it into them. And so this is what your civic attire is. Your civic attire is your clergy shirt with the collar. I'm sorry, let me be more specific. A white or black clergy shirt with the collar. And for men, a black suit. For women, a black suit jacket and black skirt. Zero embellishments. Zero embellishments. The only jewelry you can wear is your wedding ring, the jewelry that comes with your collar. And for those offices that wear the cross, so for pastors, you will wear a cross with your civic attire, and that cross will be in your left shirt pocket, your left. It will not be exposed. It will be placed within your left shirt pocket. Now, this is where I always step back and let Overseer address the women with their garments for the civic attire.
Right, and we'll just have, you know, you do the choir, and we will make this civic attire additional training available during one of our weekly meetings, where we have a more interactive, since we have so many ladies and there's so many varieties. We will do it that way. We will let you continue with the this one.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I definitely want to be clear about the civic attire. You are not wearing your cassocks. You are not wearing your surplice. You are not wearing your cincture. You would not normally wear your tippets either. It is just a black suit, clergy shirt. No embellishments, and when I say no embellishments, you're not wearing a paisley jacket or pinstripes or anything like that. It is a basic black suit.
Apostle has said, and for men, no earrings.
Thank you. Thank you. I was thinking that. Yes, thank you. Yes. The choral dress is where you are wearing full regalia, full vestment. So that means, and I will actually do it in reverse order so that you know how to put them on. You're going to wear your suits, okay? But you more than likely will not want to wear a jacket. So women, you wear skirts. Men, you wear your slacks, have on your clergy shirt with the collar. On top of that, and again, I'm doing choral dress. On top of that, again, no suit coat because it'll be too hot. On top of your pants and clergy shirt is you will put on your cassock. For those then that have a surplice, you'll have your surplice on. For those that have, before the surplice, you put on your cincture. So the cincture on top of the cassock. Then your surplice for those that has a surplice. And then the cross, if you have a cross. And your cross will be out and open, exposed pectorally on your chest. You do not tuck the cross in when you're wearing your coral dress. Your cross is not underneath your surplice, or it is, and it is not underneath your cassock. Your cross is out. So again, it is your pants and shirt with the collar, cassock, cincture, surplice, cross. For those that don't have the surplice and don't have the cross, you are just your clothes, cassock, cincture. I also feel like I just want to say this again with respect to each office and the size of your collar. Please make sure to check and double check when you get in the store. Also, you need the jewelry because the jewelry is attaches the collar to your shirt. So if you've never worn a collar before, don't forget the jewelry. Ask them about, you know, when you pick it up, ask them about it. Because I think the jewelry is actually sold separately in most of the stores. Something that I did not talk about, and it applies to some offices, I think the deacons and ministers, is having the tab collar, which is not a full collar. And so you'll wear a specific shirt that will receive the tab in these little hideaway pockets on either side of the collar.
Okay.
So, yes.
Pastor, we have some excellent questions. First question is regarding, and I believe, because I'm not sure when the message came through, but it says, can you wear just your cassock? So you cannot wear your cassock if it's civic attire. No. The answer to that is no. If it's your choral attire, and all you have is a cassock.
No.
You have to the answer is no. But then that is something you would have to get, approval from the presiding apostle.
Exactly. And my guess.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Overseer.
I was going to say, and generally with the presiding apostle, the protocol is no. You don't just wear a cassock without your collar, your tab collar. But do you, okay, and if your question is, do you just wear a cassock? If you have already received, and these are questions that are getting really specific, so we're going to have a lot of variations, but if you've already received an elevation, an ordination or license, and you have a cassock, you have to wear that in. Now, when you wear that in the processional, what you have underneath it should be something that you'll be okay with if you don't have that cassock on. So it should be black, without a doubt, all black. Most women will just get a plain black, you know, dress. If it's under the cassock and you're not taking the cassock off, you can wear a sleeveless black, you know, sundress or whatever. But you cannot march in that. And that's something we'll go over, in more detail. So you can just have a cassock on and not have your civic attire underneath it. In other words, the black shirt, the black skirt, and da-da-da-da-da, but, you know, you can also put it on top of that. But you can just have the cassock on with a black dress. Then the other question is, does the choir choral tippet? Yes, if it's a choral dress, you should have your tippet. That's protocol. You should have your tippet.
Thank you. I forgot to say that. Yeah, I was looking at the list and
right.
Was trying to find the other that garment. Yes, thank you.
Right. You see, it says, do we wear tippets on the choir? So we don't wear the tippet with the civic, but we do wear it with the choir. And the question is, should women wear black or white clergy shirt under the choral stress.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Because you're putting
it can be black or white.
It can be black or white, but you're putting cassock on top of it. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What did you say in the pop-up? And it is a black cassock. If you're putting a black cassock on, your clergy shirt should be black, according to the presiding apostle. Okay?
So
good
now,
question.
It appears that some of the questions that you are answering from the perspective of the protocol of the ordination service. And so that's not incorrect. With respect to the ordination service, she has already stated that when you are coming in, everybody is all black. Black skirt or pants, black clergy shirt and suit. Everybody is. But any other given time, unless designated by our presiding prelate, any other time, you can wear a white clergy shirt underneath your collar. Okay, but for the sake of the ordination service, everybody needs to get a black clergy shirt and wear that in.
And I guess, too, Pastor, one of my thoughts were, you know, especially going forward, you know, in a new arena here, because we are AEN and because there are so many reformations that we become affiliated with, if you're in another apostle's house, you know, theirs may vary, but if you have black, you can't go wrong. In these offices, now other offices is totally different, but in these offices, if you have black, you can't go wrong. Okay, hold on. Let me put you on. Go ahead.
Who's that? Hello?
Yes. One second. Okay. So we're getting a lot of questions, which is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. And the next question is, are we putting on a cassock as we walk march in? We're going to give all those directions at a later. We just don't want to filter up this meeting with a lot of the other aspects that we're going to start meeting first Thursday in May, and we're going to start giving clarity to all of these and continue our additional information. But for some of the people, when you march in, you already have your cassock on, because it's already been consecrated, you've already been ordained, and you're just being elevated. You have to walk in your full choral attire, okay? We're just saying stick with the black clergy shirt. Tip it. Okay. Was there another question out there that I did not get? So if you sent something to any other number and we didn't answer it, just take your phone off of mute and share. One of the things that Apostle is said making clear is that your cross must not be a cross with Christ on it. It needs to be what they call a pictorial cross, which is just a beautiful T-shaped cross. It can have jewels. You can however you want it. It should really be plain for the offices that you're doing. I take that back. To be plain.
Can I?
Yeah,
I was going to say, it should not have jewels, especially it should not have purple or red stones.
Right. So it should just be a plain silver cross. It should not have Christ on it. Absolutely not. Then the other No, it must only be silver with no other color associated with the cross, on the cross. No jewels, no diamonds, no anything. Just a solid silver cross. Okay, Pastor, am I missing something here?
I think,
yes.
I know in times past, the crosses still were able to have some kind of ornate design to them. And
yes,
most of them are never gaudy. So is that still okay? Is Apostle changing her perspective on that? Or is it?
No, that's fine. You're right.
Okay.
Correct.
So it can be ornate.
Yes. It can have engravings on them, but it cannot be an engraving that's Christ. And it should not be any jewels, and the only color should be silver. So no diamonds, no rubies, no jade, no anything for that cross. It may be, those are some of the other questions as it relates to your prayer shawl. There's a question on the table as to a certain office prayer shawl. So one of the things that I would share is the fact that, and Pastor shared it, is the thing as it relates to how the design and color is. So if you see where for your office, and let me just look here, make sure. What? What's the game? Okay. I'll say specifically the questions that's on the table specifically for the office I will address personally, okay? Now, the one thing that we did not mention as it relates to teacher is the teacher gets a stole. Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. And so that's something that we will discuss with the teachers at a later date. But the teachers do wear a stole. Okay?
And with respect to color, I think, I know that particular offices do have a color biblically assigned to them. So if any individual is curious to know what the color is for the office or the gifting, feel free to reach out to me and I will share that information with you. And that, again, could then help you decide or help you understand which prayer shawl is the one that you should wear.
And Pastor, what we will end up doing is we will make that one of our Thursday evening classes that you can facilitate, in the early part of May, so that as they're purchasing these things, they'll have a sense of direction. And so we'll do it so that everybody does. That's why I didn't want to address one, and then others said, well, what about me, what about me, what about me? So we'll just have a whole session on the colors and how, as Elder Yvette talks about the prayer song, we will include that in that with your teaching on the colors for the office.
Okay. Yes. So I think we can definitely get out in this training a little earlier than 12, but I do just want to confirm you do not want to talk about anything with respect to the ordination service now. You want to save that for a later date?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. So that will be one of our first May meetings, and we'll give the process and make clarity to what you're going to do and what's going to be done with these garments. Apostle has a message for us at a later date, and that will be shared with you as well. So, yes, Pastor.
All right.
Absolutely. Good meeting. Good meeting. Okay, yeah, I'm making notes here.
Are there any other questions, people of God?
Amen. All right. Amen. Appreciate your time. All right, Pastor.
Amen. No other questions?
Yes, sir.
Anybody going to be slow with the unmute? make sure we give everybody their chance and opportunity.
Are we going to be meeting on another Saturday?
Our meetings from this point forward will be on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And starting in the month of May. Every Thursday in the month of May, we will be meeting at 7 p.m. on this Blog Talk channel for 1 hour.
Oh, for 1 hour. That was my next question. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, right,
yes, for 1 hour. Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. We have
a question as it relates to the white clergy shirt. Only way you wear a white clergy shirt if you have a white cap. And no one on this line is required to have a white casket, so your clergy shirts will be black. For future, we will talk about that at one of the meetings as it relates to offices and what office functions you may be called upon to do. And at that time, the dress protocol will be shared with you as it relates to that white clergy shirt. And if you like and you can and God has blessed you, buy them both. And you can bring them, and only bring the black one to the conference. I was going to say if you want the white one blessed, you can bring it, but that would make it complicated. That's not going to happen, so do not bring it.
Minister
Elder Sharita will not take it. It is not on the list. He will not take it. And you'll find out about that list and all of that at a later time. Okay. Other questions?
I don't have a question, but is it okay for me to share something that Holy Spirit just brought back to my memory?
Oh, sure, Elder.
Amen.
And as we were sitting here and Pastor Hooks was teaching, and I was thinking about the calling, it just brought back to my memory some years ago as he was ministering to me in the waiting room. This office, he informed me about. He brought it to me, and I just was like, no, he hasn't told me that. But you were telling me some years ago, and it just came back now while you were teaching.
Who told you this years ago?
You, Pastor. You were ministering to me. It was me and my daughter in the waiting room waiting to go into the Seven Wonders. I can't tell you the year, but she hadn't graduated high school. And I remember about that. And I said, you said, Elizabeth, I see Pastor. Are you Pastor? And I was like, no. And he was like, well, the Lord is telling me Pastor. And I said, well, he hasn't informed me of that yet. But you told me that, and that came back while you were teaching. I went back to that room, and you ministering to me, preparing me to go into Seven Wonders.
Amen.
And, I hope you get excited about that, everybody on the line, Pastor Hooks, because in this ordination, consecration, elevation, our own Pastor Hooks is going to be consecrated
as an apostolic prophetic teacher. So you see the anointing on the lives of the people, and then you become a witness to, yes, that's true, because that's how God used him in my life. And so it's so important that we surrender to Holy Spirit, and then we allow him to open our eyes and hear his voice as he reminds us of the things that heaven has been doing around us all along, and that we are in order, we are in God's timing, we are in divine purpose in this season, doing that which we have been divinely appointed to do. So I celebrate all of you. I celebrate all of you. And I pray that as we go forth, we will pray for one another. We will encourage one another through obedience and holy living and being true to the process. Get your things on time only because it's when Holy Spirit is downloading some amazing revelation. As you answer the questions, as you go through your forms, as you just do those things that the Lord has established in this ministry through the apostle and has downloaded and given us a form and an opportunity to go forth in this, that you will be blessed by it to its most effective and full charge. We'll always be blessed because God is a blessing God. But there is so much of the abundance that he wants us to experience and to possess and then to share with others. And we can only do that as we humbly submit to the authority and to those that have a rule over us. So enjoy the process. Don't think of it as laborious and it's too much and it's this and it's that, because those are the sounds of the enemy trying to deter you, because he realizes that Holy Spirit has downloaded your orders in God's holy army, and that now these orders are going to be manifested on the earth realm, and the hell will be put on notice. This is who your enemy has been empowered to overcome you. And we are speaking of those that have the authority in the mountains that we will take over in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is your time. This is your season. This is your platform. Receive your training so that as you go forth, you will be fit and you have only to stand, because you will have put on the whole armor of Christ. And that whole armor of Christ, if you think about it, it's part of what your garments look like. And so we just rejoice in God and we go forth. Thank you so much for your obedience, for your faithfulness, for your yes. You gave God a yes. We thank our accountability partners that are walking with you, concerned for you, praying on your behalf, interceding. So if they get on your nerve, no, it's the way love happens. You're looking at the effect of love on your life. Hallelujah. So if there be nothing else, we do ask that the pastor will close us out in prayer and look for the announcement from our own elder, Sherita, for your next gathering. Okay, Pastor?
Amen, amen. So blessed God and wonderful Savior, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Our praise, O Heavenly Father, this hour is only followed by one request. But before we say what we want and what we desire, God, we declare, O God, that you are glorious and worthy of all praise. Thank you, God. Thank you for selecting us, Lord God, for choosing these people, for empowering them in this time and season of their life, God, for not leaving or forsaking or even giving a shadow thereof, but God, confirming your word and fulfilling, Lord God, the very mandate, Lord God, of holiness, Lord Jesus, and righteousness upon each and every one of them and each and every one of us. Now, God, our only ask is this, that you show us and drape us with your glory, that you meet us where we are, Lord God, in our process, O Heavenly Father. Reveal, Lord God, your release revelational knowledge, Lord God, and truth over each and every one of these, your people, and bless them abundantly, God, so that we can go forth, Lord God, in power and authority in the very gifts and callings that you have placed upon each and every one of us, God. Double anointings where you see fit, O Heavenly Father, and pour out, Lord God, the greatness and depth and wealth of your spirit. And we bless you and we thank you for it, oh God. Ah, we honor you for what you have done, Lord God, and what you are doing and what you are going to do. We honor you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, for God, blessing Hallelujah. Somebody's yes. We yes, honor yes. you, oh Heavenly Father, for taking that person who felt Hallelujah. Like I'm not good enough, they're not good enough, oh God, and you, Lord God, poured upon such a measure of love and peace upon them, oh God, that they can run, Lord God, this race, Heavenly Father. They are empowered, Lord God, to do and to be of your good pleasure. God, we thank you. Pour out your spirit, O Heavenly Father. Drape them with the oil of your anointing, O God, and release your glory. God, I thank you, Lord God, that you would, Lord God, touch those, O Holy Father, who, Lord God, have walked in dry places, O God, and walking in the spirit, O Lord God, and it just doesn't seem the same anymore, oh God. They're almost dying in ministry, God. God, release and breathe life over them even now in the name of Jesus. God, cause them, oh God, to study, oh Heavenly Father, and be empowered, Lord God, to read, Lord God, and to be revived in the name of Jesus. Cause them, oh God, to communicate with you, Lord God, even more than they've communicated, Lord God, with their friends and loved ones, oh God. And we bless you, Lord God, that we will, Lord God, in these over these next few months, oh God, become to just tap into the spirit, tap into the glory, oh Lord God, and to be overflowed by it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and I praise you, oh Lord God. Then you're going to take us, Lord God, to higher heights and deeper depths, oh God, and we speak it to be so. Take us into higher heights and deeper depths, oh Lord God. Make it uneasy for us, Lord God, to avoid you, oh Lord God, but make it, Lord God, glorious, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to communicate Hallelujah. With you in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We love you and we praise you. We praise the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
We worship and reverence the Lamb of God, and we send forth all gratitude to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Bless you,
yeah.
oh Lord
yeah.
God.
Thank you, God.
And it is in Jesus' name
Hallelujah.
We pray. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Be blessed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
God bless
Worship
everyone.
The Lord.
Amen.
The Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Continue in your worship. In Jesus.
Amen. God bless.